Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
A private equity firm is buying Subway. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Subway, the fast food chain, is selling itself to a private equity firm. Subway was founded 60 years ago in Connecticut. It's owned by the Buck and DeLuca families, and they have agreed to sell the company to Rourke Capital for nearly $10 billion, according to Reuters. Subway has had its struggles over the past decade between a scandal with its longtime spokesperson and tougher competition from other fast casual chains, but the company has seen a recent increase in sales. The challenge for its new owners, how to keep that momentum going, Marketplace's Henry Epp reports.
Subway's new owners have to figure out how many locations the chain can support in the U.S. because during the Great Recession, the company added too many, says Jonathan Mays, editor-in-chief of Restaurant Business Magazine.
I would go to my little community center and there was a Subway in that thing. So they were everywhere.
Since 2016, over 6,000 Subways have closed, Mays says. And even with sales now up, the new owners may need to close more. They can also change menus, layouts, and marketing, but Subway restaurants are operated by local franchisees, says Alex Suskind, a professor of food and beverage management at Cornell.
Any changes that you make in a franchise system can be very, very disruptive for operators. A lot of times you get resistance.
Meanwhile, the brand could grow internationally, says Sean Dunlop, an equity analyst at Morningstar.
I would say West Europe and then Latin America, the bigger markets like Brazil.
If it can stabilize in the U.S. and expand overseas, Dunlop says, Subway's new owners could see a pretty good return, which is the goal of private equity. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Soon, you may be able to stream ESPN and live sports without having a cable or pay TV subscription. Disney, which owns ESPN, is reportedly talking to Amazon about partnering up to do this, to create a streaming version of the cable TV sports channel. ESPN has been a cash cow for Disney, but it has run into some trouble as cable audiences keep shrinking and competition with other streaming services has gotten more intense. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The talks between Amazon and Disney are reportedly in their early stages. Amazon, which has its own streaming service and a cloud computing service that powers Netflix, would help with a streamed version of ESPN, the cable channel. Amazon could also take a minority stake in the sports network, according to the information, which would help inject much-needed cash into ESPN. Bob Iger, who returned as CEO of Disney in November, has said that he's looking for strategic partners to take the sports network directly to consumers. The information says a subscription could cost between $20 to $35 a month. If these plans pan out, they would be a major shift for Disney and ESPN, which has been a key anchor channel for cable TV, helping to maintain subscribers who want access to a broad array of live sports programming. But that programming is getting more expensive to carry, while ad spending has shrunk. That's left ESPN, once a major cash engine, struggling to maintain revenues and profits. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a shakeup brewing in American steel manufacturing. One of the largest steelmakers in the country, U.S. Steel, is up for sale, and it's getting messy. The company's unionized workers say they essentially have the power to veto any transaction they don't approve of. But U.S. Steel disagrees. The question could take a while to resolve, and the final outcome of the sale could have huge implications for both organized labor and the domestic steel economy. Ali Budner reports.
It's pretty unusual for a labor union to have any real power over the outcome of a company's sale. That's according to Mike Williams, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He says normally a facility would
just go for sale, highest bidder, good, thanks, goodbye, good luck to the workforce.
But the United Steelworkers Union, which represents most of the employees of U.S. Steel, planned for this sort of buyout scenario.
The fact that the steelworkers bargained in a successorship clause into their basic labor agreement was really important.
United Steelworkers wasn't available for an interview, but in a letter, the president said the union has the power to bid on U.S. Steel or pick another company to do it for them. And the union has a clear favorite. It's Cleveland-Cliffs, one of the other largest steelmakers in the country. Also a union shop, as Jeffrey Hirsch, law professor at the University of North Carolina, points out.
That company already has a track record of working well with the union.
But U.S. Steel rejected Cleveland-Cliffs' initial offer, saying in a letter that it was unreasonable. But the union could also reject U.S. Steel's choice for a buyer. All of this back and forth could take a lot of time. Hirsch says it could even lead to a strike.
It is possible that the union's arguments here could result in some sort of work stoppage and disruption in steel production.
There's a lot at stake here for the company and the workers, says Anne-Marie LaFaso, a law professor at West Virginia University College of Law. The company that buys U.S. Steel could choose to close the plant or move it to another state or overseas.
This is how a lot of union workers have historically lost their jobs in this country.
Cleveland-Cliffs is a U.S. company, but senior equity analyst at KeyBank Capital Markets, Phil Gibbs, says there could be antitrust concerns if it acquires U.S. Steel.
This would be a combo of the number one and number two largest carbon sheet producers in the U.S. And that market concentration is something that we're flagging.
If that deal does go through, Gibbs says it would ratchet up the consolidation of the steel industry, something that companies down the supply chain, like automakers, will not be thrilled about. I'm Ali Budner for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.